right, so we're back on the topic of weather prediction models. Honestly, the advancements we're seeing with AI integrations and weather forecasting are phenomenal. When Dr. Kate Musgrave from CIRA points out that our models have comparable or greater skill than the best operational models for track and intensity, it speaks volumes about where this technology is headed.
Right, and it's not just CIRA. We've got the UK Met Office, University of Tokyo, Japan's Weather News Incorporated, and others jumping on board. It's like the Avengers of weather forecasting, a dream team committed to making our predictive models better. It's promising to see all these collaborations aiming to improve official forecasts, especially when it's literally about saving lives during hurricane season.
Plus, it's a show of how AI isn't just about predicting stock prices or improving marketing strategies. It's real-time, life-saving stuff. This collaboration with emergency services can make a huge difference in how we prepare and respond to natural disasters.
Speaking of saving lives, another sector heavily influenced by AI is the crypto world, but it's walking a tightrope. Take Coinbase's warning about the risks tied to the increasing dependence on Bitcoin by publicly traded companies. One minute, they're riding high on gains. Next minute, if BTC price plunges, it's panic city.
Yeah, Coinbase's David Duong wasn't pulling any punches there. Rallying behind Bitcoin can be great when prices are favorable, but what happens when BTC drops? Companies that have taken the plunge might be so underwater they'd need scuba gear to sort their finances.
The analogy there is perfect. With 126 publicly traded companies holding over 819,857 BTC, approximately $87 billion at current prices, it's a serious risk. Imagine those firms having to sell their Bitcoin holdings to pay off bonds they issued at a loss. It's a domino effect waiting to happen.
And it's not just about financial risks here. There's an influential ripple effect on the broader crypto market. If that scenario of mass selling happens, the whole ecosystem could face turmoil. It's not just contained to one company or another, it's systemic.
Meanwhile, on a somewhat lighter note, there's the buzz about Fartcoin hitting Coinbase. Like, who would have thought flatulence-themed meme coins would make it mainstream? It's hilarious, but again, a reminder of how unpredictable the crypto world can be.
Speaking of unpredictability, the collaboration between Shopify and Coinbase for stablecoin payments is a big deal. Millions of stores accepting USDC seamlessly creates a massive gateway for everyday crypto use, potentially stabilizing e-commerce transactions.
Armstrong's enthusiasm on stage reflected the importance of this move. This isn't just a plug-in, it's a paradigm shift in how payments are processed. Pay with crypto becoming mainstream through Shopify is a classic case of traditional business adapting innovative technology.
And let's not forget the clutter of crypto treasuries with firms like Strike, Parify Capital, and SharpLink. SharpLink, for instance, saw a boost in its stock prices after confirming their Ethereum treasury. The dynamics of how these companies play with their crypto assets can really drive financial markets.
Absolutely. And while Ethereum and Bitcoin dominate this narrative, we're also seeing significant movements in altcoins like Solana and XRP. The clustered liquidity and how it affects larger market caps are fascinating.
Speaking of liquidations, the recent broad sell-off in crypto due to profit-taking and panic post-CPI data is another example. A single $201 million long position getting liquidated on Binance? It's like watching a financial thriller unfold.
Indeed. Bitcoin leads with the most liquidations, followed by Ethereum. This ongoing roller coaster of price movements underlines the volatile nature of crypto investments. It's not for the faint-hearted.
And as a curveball, how about this browser extension that converts all prices to Bitcoin and sats on your screen? Marty Bent's opportunity cost extension symbolizes a shift to viewing value through the lens of cryptocurrency. It's like thinking in another currency, makes you reconsider all your spending habits.
Couldn't have said it better myself. The whole concept is eye-opening, especially watching regular prices through Bitcoin's valuation. Interesting timing with Peter Schiff's comments about admitting he's wrong if everything gets priced in Bitcoin.
And with stablecoin giant Tether buying heaps of Bitcoin and gold, we see them hedging against monetary inflation. Tether's dual strategy, holding massive amounts of Bitcoin and gold, highlights the enduring stability of these assets amidst crypto volatility. Paolo Arduino isn't just talking, he's walking the walk.
For sure. Such moves build a resilient financial system, reinforcing how diversified strategies can back digital tokens effectively. It's why Tether remains robust, even amidst market swings.
Ultimately, these developments in AI for hurricane forecasting, Coinbase's crypto warnings, Shopify's USDC collaboration, company treasuries, and how we view money, all of them interconnect. It's about enhancing decision-making processes with technology, ensuring preparedness across spectrums, whether it be natural or man-made economic disasters.
And that's the essence of our discussion today. Just how deeply AI and technology influence our world, driving smarter, safer decisions across varying sectors, from saving lives and natural calamities to navigating the unpredictable crypto seas.
Well said. And this continuous evolution in technology will only keep refining how we approach and manage these risks.
Stay tuned. More dynamic discussions on this crossover of tech, business, and politics coming up next.
So, Core, let's dive back into this chaos with Curium and Infoblox going head-to-head with Vextrio. The fact that Los Palos pulled the plug on their monetization service just days later is ironic, don't you think?
Absolutely, Jack. It all comes down to pressure from the industry. When Infoblox and Curium exposed those vulnerabilities, it was like throwing a spotlight on a cockroach. Suddenly, Los Palos had no choice but to shut down or risk greater exposure.
I can't help but laugh imagining their board meeting. All right, team, it's official. We've been busted. Let's shut it all down before it goes viral. And then Holmes magically adds, pro rebrands to AIM Global within a month. Coincidence? I think not.
You're right. It's those classic moves businesses pull trying to shake off bad press. But I have to wonder, with all this reshuffling, is it just a temporary fix, or are they actually addressing the core issues?
More like slapping a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. But wait, did you catch the bit about the first-person shooters, the whole game loop, aim, shoot, hit or miss?
Yeah, totally. That concept of immediate feedback in gaming really connects to the importance of instant responses when exposing security flaws. Users, whether gamers or industry partners, need to see the impact of their actions instantly. Otherwise, it's just shooting in the dark.
Spot on. It's the same with these security threats. When a vulnerability is exposed and companies like Los Palos don't react immediately, it's like missing a target in a game. It can have serious repercussions. Quick action can be a game changer. Literally and figuratively.
But speaking of quick reactions, let's pivot to QEMU and its role in different use cases. I mean, it's like the Swiss Army knife of virtualization, right?
Totally. QEMU is incredibly versatile. Whether users want full control of its performance or prefer integration via higher level layers like OpenStack, it's pretty amazing. It provides stability and flexibility, just like a good multi-tool.
And don't even get me started on Brunette's celebrity scientist life, sharing caviar with Chirac and friends with the dictator. It's like something straight out of a spy movie with a side of academic drama over a femur.
Seriously. Imagine the meetings between Brunette and university presidents trying to mediate these scientific feuds. It's clear that academia can be just as intense and political as any other field.
Indeed. And to bring it back to AI, these dynamics show how entrenched and resistant to change the scientific community can be, much like the tech industry is dealing with security breaches and necessary rebranding. Change only happens under significant pressure.
Right? It's all about pushing those boundaries, whether in tech or science. By the way, did you hear about the call screening feature Apple's looking to roll out? AI answering your calls from unknown numbers and then deciding if you should pick up. That's wild.
Oh, I did. That's definitely going to revolutionize the way we handle unsolicited calls. It's like having a personal assistant who knows precisely who to let through and who to block.
And being able to access AI models offline? Apple clearly wants to stay ahead in the AI race. But the delay in series upgrades, now that's a bummer. Seems they're struggling to get their voice assistant up to snuff with the latest AI trends.
True, true. Yet it shows they're focusing on quality over rushing out half-baked features. Their new AI-driven workout coach, though, that's going to motivate a lot of couch potatoes to get moving.
If only it could yell at me to stop snacking during these recording sessions. But jokes aside, it's impressive how AI is being integrated into everyday tools to enhance user experiences.
Absolutely. And on that note, scaling AI is really where the battle's at. It reminds me of how QEMU fits perfectly into diverse environments. The ability to adapt and be versatile is key for any technology, wouldn't you say?
Couldn't agree more, Cor. Whether it's handling virtual machines on QENU or managing privacy nightmares on Meta AI, it's all about fitting the tech seamlessly into our lives while ensuring it's user-friendly and secure.
And speaking of security, the whole Meta AI public embarrassment debacle is just nuts. People have no idea they're sharing their private chats publicly. It's the perfect example of how poor design can ruin a potentially great product.
Oh man, talk about awkward. Imagine asking about big booty women and then realizing everyone can see it. Meta really dropped the ball on user privacy there.
It's a reminder to always check privacy settings and how tech giants can overlook crucial details, leading to major user trust issues. But here's hoping they learn from these mistakes.
Definitely. Well, this has been quite the roller coaster. From security breaches to the latest AI features.
And from gaming loops to public privacy issues, it's clear we're living in a fascinating tech era.
Absolutely. Let's see what craziness the next segment brings. Stay tuned. All right, Cor, let's dive back in. We were talking about ADHD and its impact, especially as it manifests later in life for a lot of people. You mentioned some strategies for coping, like writing those tasks down on sticky notes. But I'm curious, have you ever felt that sort of cognitive scatter in your own routines? Like you start strong and then it's like your brain just goes, well, let's think about this random thing instead.
Oh, absolutely, Jack. You know me, I'm bouncing off ideas pretty much every minute. It's like I have a pinball machine in my head on overdrive. Sometimes I sit down to finish a report, and next thing I know, I'm reading about the history of, I don't know, Byzantine pottery. The struggle is real.
Isn't that the truth? That hyper-focus on completely irrelevant stuff is a killer for productivity. But you know, when you start to understand and recognize it as ADHD, you can sort of hack your brain. Like, okay, brain, you want distractions? Let's make our tasks a bit more gamified.
Exactly. It's about harnessing those quirks to your advantage. Going back to the sticky note strategy, it might seem trivial, but that visual reminder can be a game changer. It's like teaching your brain to keep coming back to the task, even after it wanders off.
Yeah, I've tried it myself. Keeping those notes right in front of me helps in not forgetting what I was doing. And you know, it's kind of peculiar how people around you might think you're just being forgetful or lazy when it's actually your brain wiring you differently. It's like, no, Karen, I'm not lazy. My brain's just got an automatic redirect to random.
Haha, exactly. But stepping aside from the personal struggle for a bit, it's fascinating how ADHD and similar cognitive differences are seen in the larger context, like in work culture or historical perceptions. You know that recent debate over the Sahelanthropus fossils? It's almost like looking at how scientists, despite all their focus, can get tunnel vision too.
Oh, for sure. That whole debate about whether Sahelanthropus was part of our lineage or just an old ape is like academia's version of ADHD overfocus. They get so wrapped up in tiny details like the shape of a femur that they might miss the broader implications. It's like they get stuck in analysis paralysis.
Right. And how they argue over tiny increments of detail might remind you of an ADHD brain hyperfixing on a specific task. Makes sense they'd need more fossils to find the definitive answers. I mean, how are you supposed to draw conclusions with just one femur?
In the conflict, it almost mirrors those workplace debates where someone with ADHD might have brilliant spurts of insight if only they weren't bogged down by the nitpicky stuff others expect. Like Machiavelli nitpicking missing commas. Imagine having him as your supervisor.
Oh, geez, he'd drive everyone up the wall. Hey, Machiavelli, we've got the quarterly report ready. But did you have that comma on page 57, paragraph 2, line 4? But that's the point. Sometimes being overly precise isn't necessary, and ADHD brains often connect those dots in unexpected ways.
Definitely helps to keep things in perspective. And that's something everyone can learn from, ADHD or not. It's about integrating different ways of thinking to get the full picture. Whether it's solving workplace productivity or decoding ancient fossils, flexibility is key.
And honestly, these new perspectives do make life and work more interesting. Imagine if everyone's brain was running on the same operating system. How dull would that be?
Incredibly dull. Core, incredibly dull. Here's to celebrating those quirks that make us better problem solvers, even if we sometimes have to wrangle our brains back on track. Let's take a short break before we delve into how businesses are leveraging AI to understand and perhaps aid these cognitive diversities. This one's bound to get juicy.
Can't wait. We'll be right back after these messages.
So, Cor, we were discussing the absurdity of those session expiry times on websites. Like, why do some sites have this aggressively mid-range expiry of 7 to 30 days? It's ridiculous. A bank? Sure, 15 minutes. But for most websites, it's like they're stuck in the Goldilocks zone of uselessness.
Absolutely, Jack. It's not short enough to prevent someone from really hijacking your session if they get their hands on your data, but it's long enough to be super annoying. Every time I get logged out and have to go through the whole process again, I can't help but wonder who benefits from this.
And the worst part is, it's totally like security theater. We've got people running around thinking they're more secure when in reality, it's just a nice little charade. Real security would be to focus on more robust methods, like multi-factor authentication or better monitoring for suspicious activity.
Exactly. And speaking of charades, did you hear about this Los Palos ad network with elements straight out of Breaking Bad? I mean, they've really taken inspiration from Los Palos Hermanos and added a tech twist.
Oh, I did. C-O-R-R. And it's wild. The whole mirrored fictional restaurant chain concept for money laundering by the cartel. It's genius, really, if it's that spooky. And what's up with this guy, Cerruti? His web of companies is across Swiss firms running a dodgy ad network plus VPN services that hide users' notifications and then demand payment after 24 hours.
Sketchy as all get out. It's the digital version of putting up a toll booth out of nowhere. First, they get you used to the idea of notifications being gone, and then, bam, pay up or be buried in spam again.
And then they try to clean up by changing the developer name from Holocode to AP Labs, but leave traces of the old name in the terms of service. It's like a bad game of digital hide-and-seek.
Cerruti even admitted to battling fraud and bad traffic, losing money to these practices. Yet, it sounds like they've got their own little scheme going with these apps.
It's fascinating how these businesses evolve, and yet so many are risking everything for a quick buck. I mean, we've got these startups doing whatever it takes to get ahead, and we end up with things like session expiry that doesn't actually protect users effectively.
True. Beyond startups, even these established names like Chime still face issues. They just had their IPO, but their journey has been like a roller coaster, with layoffs and regulatory battles about not being able to call themselves a bank.
And on the lighter side, Mattel's diversifying with movies and games based on toys. They released Barbie, and now they're eyeing other toy franchises for big screens. It's a unique pivot for sure.
Right. And don't get me started on electric bikes. The market's so churned up, rad power bikes with layoffs and changes in leadership. American brands struggle to set a foothold while international ones stumble too.
It's this constant balancing act. One misstep and it's downhill. But innovation doesn't always fly smoothly. Like git migrations for companies, a necessary evil for modernizing, but no one's favorite project.
Talking about modernization, the importance of secure technical frameworks can't be overstated. Now we're seeing Lynx, PDF stepping up for centralized secure document solutions. The focus on tailored options for educational institutions and government agencies is precisely where it's most needed.
Yep, compliance and integration challenges are a bear. These tools need to work seamlessly without adding to the already overwhelming load of system management.
And speaking of overwhelming tasks, transitioning between these various digital tools is no small feat, like the Central Developer Organization decision at Office Engineering to migrate to Git. It's a marathon.
Marathon's a good analogy, Cor. And so is the ongoing evolution, like Shopify and Coinbase and Stripe teaming up for the new commerce payments protocol. This is some next-level stuff for on-chain payments, smoothing out the bumps for merchants.
Definitely, Jack. And it's always about simplifying and securing the flow while adding value, like the proposed incentives for on-chain purchases. Innovation within traditional frameworks will always be ongoing.
Couldn't agree more. And if brands keep pushing the envelope, it can only get more interesting down the line. But managing security and user experience side by side, now that's the real challenge. Well, that was quite the roller coaster of a discussion today. From dissecting the latest breakthroughs in AI to dating the future of cryptocurrency regulations, we definitely covered a lot of ground.
Absolutely, Jack. I mean, who knew we'd end up talking about whether AI will eventually dominate chess tournaments and run for public office?
Hey, you never know what the pace of innovation these days. But seriously, it's always fascinating to dive into these topics and get different perspectives.
Speaking of perspectives, your take on the new tech antitrust laws was, let's say, bold. I don't think I've ever heard anyone compare it to the plot of The Matrix before.
What can I say? Sometimes I like to think outside the box, or in this case, outside the code. But in all seriousness, our discussions provide a lot of food for thought and hopefully help our listeners navigate these complex issues.
And let's not forget the importance of having these debates in a way that's not just informative, but also engaging. We had a few laughs along the way, and I think that's what keeps us all coming back.
Couldn't agree more. With that, I think it's time to wrap things up.
Yes, it's that time again. Thanks so much for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
And if you did, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or share this episode with your friends. We always appreciate the support.
Until next time, keep questioning, keep debating, and keep unchaining your thoughts. See you next time.
See you around, folks.